Okay, seems very formal using a microphone for an audience this size, but it's all being recorded, so we'll go through the protocol. As chair, my name's Daniel Smith. As chair, I've got to remind you about feedback forms, so please do it and please put them in. And there's a box just out the door. Luke is presenting today on levy copulas. Luke's graduated at the end of last year from Uni New South Wales, having done the co-op program and a Bachelor of Commerce first class honours. He's worked at Taylor Fry, which is where I'm from, also at Colonial First State, Global Asset Management and APRA, and also did a little bit at Affinity. He's been a tutor and research assistant at the Uni New South Wales, looking at modelling of aggregate claim amounts between business lines of business for multi-line insurers. And his interests include stochastic processes, dependence modelling, ruin theory, and their applications in the adequacy of modelling. And so from February this year, Luke's been, he's joined Affinity there as an actuarial analyst. So over to you, Luke.
Okay. Thanks for coming to see my presentation. So the topic, or the name of the paper, is Modelling Dependence in Insurance Claims Processes with Levy Copulas. So in essence, what it's looking at is a model which aims to capture dependence in aggregate claim amounts between different lines of business. You can also look at it to model the dependence between different payment types from single claims. So it's based on a paper written by myself with Drs. Benjamin Avanzi and Bernard Wong at the University of New South Wales, who are unable to be here, so it's just myself presenting. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge that this research was supported by an Australian actuarial research grant, and that I myself acknowledge financial support both from Affinity Consulting and an Ernst & Young Honours Scholarship. Right, so the outline of the presentation is as follows. I'll give you first a motivation as to why we're actually looking at modelling dependence between different classes of business or payment type, and then give you an introduction to this thing called levy copula. Now, I should also clarify that for those of you familiar with copulas in the distributional sense, you may think of Clayton copula, Gumbel copula. You may think that a levy copula is simply another type of this sort of copula, but it's actually fundamentally different in the structure of, it's actually not, rather than being a copula looking at dependence between random variables, it's a function which allows modelling of dependence between stochastic processes. So we then look at fitting what's called a Clayton levy copula to a real data set, which is a workers' compensation data set from Switzerland. We show that this is a poor fit and that it motivates the development of new levy copula models, which weren't in existence in the literature before. Then we introduce a method, some methods of how you can compare the fit of these models, and then finally show how we can extend it to more than two classes and move beyond bivariate into n-dimensional cases. So to begin with the motivation, what we're looking at is, suppose you have the case where a single event may give rise to claims in multiple classes of business, and this is due to the dependence between those classes of business. So it's looking at dependence in the underlying event that causes claims. So you could think of perhaps a weather peril, which perhaps a hailstorm, which will see claims in both motor and home portfolios. You can also extend this, and rather than looking at different lines of business, look at different payment types within a business. So for the example of domestic home, you'll have payments relating to loss of buildings and payments relating to loss of contents. So you can actually quantify the dependence existing between those two types of payments. Now, dependency in lines of business will have implications for, obviously, when you're calculating diversification benefits between lines of business. And in turn, this will impact your capital adequacy. So when you're doing DFA modelling, often in aggregation, they consider the dependence between the classes of business. Also, your economic capital allocation. So when you're trying to determine return on capital for a specific line of business because you want to compare which line performs better. You need to also consider the extent to which they offer a diversification benefit to the overall portfolio. And to a lesser, well, probably sees lesser use in practice, but in terms of pricing, because you may wish to increase volume of a certain line of business because it allows for diversification benefits, that may influence the way in which you price that business. So typically, or perhaps rather than typically, but an approach that's becoming more widespread in the industry is to use distributional copulas to model the dependence in the aggregate claim amounts for a certain period of time between classes of business. So I believe Aon Benfield's Remetrica application is allowing for this. Either it does now or it will soon allow for this kind of modelling. So just to refresh on the distributional copula approach and then sort of mention some complications with this approach, which is motivating our look at this new levy copula method. So suppose at a time T, so we'll say that's a year, you're looking at the aggregate claim amounts in a year for D classes of business. And the initial approach might be to apply probability distributions F, T1, up to the D classes of business. The way that copulas are then used to induce dependence between these claim amounts is that the multivariate distribution function, so on the left, which is the joint probability of seeing X1 up to XD aggregate claim amounts in 1 year, is described as a function of this copula, which links the marginal distribution functions. So this is sort of, those that have done the ERM course would have hopefully seen this. It's also a similar approach sort of implicitly used a lot of the time in calculating diversification benefits for risk margins. So usually the assumption is that the provisions for when calculating risk margins are either log normal or normally distributed, and you fit those distributions using the mean and the coefficient of variation. You then apply a sort of rough correlation matrix, which is basically a normal copula. So this approach is used in a number of ways. However, some of the complications are that the copula that this choose, that this copula that you choose for a certain time period, whether it be 1 year or not, will generally depend on the time period that you choose. So if you're looking at dependence for claims for 1 year, you wanted to then extend your model and say, well, let's have a look at the aggregate over 5 years, if you wish to do that. The copula for this 5 years period can't be derived from the one at 1 year. You have to refit your entire model. And of course, this has implications with data. I mean, you don't really have data to fit on 1 year anyway. But if there was a way in which you could fit on a shorter time period and perhaps extend that, that may have some value and offer some advantages over this approach. In addition to this, because you're just fitting the aggregate claim amounts and the dependence between those, you don't get this separate idea of dependence in claim frequency and the dependence in the severity of the claims. So if we then see what advantages levy copulas provide, firstly, you can actually look at the dependence in the claim frequency that exists separately to the dependence in claim severity. It's also time consistent, and what I mean by that is you can fit the model for a certain risk horizon that you specify. If you wanted to look at that structure over a different time horizon, you don't need to refit your model. You can just make a simple algebraic change to the parameters. It's also parsimonious over other methods. So I also cite here a survey from one of the Towers Watson publications, Emphasis, which came out last month. I think it's the most recent edition, which came out last year. And they performed some surveys asking sort of what do insurers, both life and non-life, look at when they're looking at economic capital, just some questions about that. One of the questions was, what kind of risk horizon do you look at in economic capital considerations. And of course, these vary. So occasionally businesses will just look at one year, or they may look at a length of the runoff of their whole portfolio. The reason for these differences is, of course, they may just have, it just depends on their own strategy, I suppose, whether or not they want to make decisions based on 3 years or 1 year outcomes and things like that. This then causes a bit of, it sort of becomes incomparable then across different businesses and even different lines of business as well, if you're looking at aggregating different lines and you're using different risk horizons. So perhaps it may have an advantage, this Levy-Copular approach, in that you can change risk horizon and compare. So just to give you an introduction to Levy-Copulars, there are some formulas in here, but the way I try and explain it is with graphs and words as well as formulas. So perhaps formulas are easy or perhaps not. One of the sort of assumptions is that we would use a compound Poisson process to describe claims arriving over continuous time in one line of business. So ST is the describes the aggregate claim amounts at time T for a line of business, and it's basically just the sum of claim severities up to NT, which is the number of claims. So you should be familiar with this from this is from CT1, part 1 exams. There's an assumption that the claims arrive by a Poisson process, and the parameter of this process is lambda, which describes the expected claim frequency per unit of time. The claim severities are assumed to be identically and independently distributed, and we fit them with a certain probability distribution function or survival function. Consider then the case of what I was talking about before. We have a single event giving claims in different multiple lines of business. What I've got here is basically a graph of the aggregate claim amount in a blue class of business and a red class of business, and looking at the evolution of that over time. So you can see these dotted lines are describing the claim severities, and where you have a horizontal line, that's obviously where you don't have a claim. So as time progresses, this example of dependence I was talking about is evident in three places in this graph. So you can see where the dotted lines line up. They're obviously occurring at the same time, so it would suggest that a common event is causing those two claims. Mathematically, you can describe this. It's called a bivariate compound Poisson process. The way it works is it can be broken up into the independent or unique jumps. So the reason we have a perpendicular line is because it implies orthogonality, which mathematically is sort of similar to independence. And common jumps are described by the parallel lines. So you can think they're common, parallel. So these are S1, S2, with parallel lines, represent the common claims, and they have an expected frequency of lambda parallel. Now, the sizes of these common claims may also be dependent, which is an assumption that may make sense in certain cases. So if you have multiple claims that are arising from the same event, then it sort of makes sense that it's a reasonable assumption to have that the sizes of those claims are going to be dependent on the payments of those claims. And we denote a joint survival function representing this joint distribution. Now, of course, if you were to fit every single one of these parameters of each of those compound Poisson processes, it will become parsimonious. You'd have to fit the claim frequencies for each and the sizes of the claim severities, as well as the dependence between the common jump sizes, common claim sizes. And this is especially the case when you're expanding expanding beyond two classes of business. So in the case of four classes of business, you may have dependence between two classes alone or three altogether, and you get multiple combinations. So now to sort of intro you to the workings of the Levy-Copular and how it's what actually happens here. In the distributional copula case, the function is applied on the distribution function for a random variable. In the Levy copula case, it's applied on what's called the tail integral of the stochastic process. So for a single class of business I, its tail integral, u of x, measures the expected number of claims which have a size greater than x per unit of time. So the way you can describe that mathematically is just the expected claim frequency for the class over unit time multiplied by the probability that a certain claim, any one claim, is above size x. Graphically, it's sort of expressed as follows. So for a claim size of 0, you're measuring the number of claims of size greater than 0. It starts at the actual overall expected claim frequency. And as you increase x, that shape of that graph is determined by the distribution of the claim size. You also have a joint tail integral, and what that's doing is describing the jumps which are common to both classes of business. So this u of x1, x2 looks at the expected number of common jumps which have size greater than x1 in the first class and size greater than x2 in the second class. And a Levy copula, C, which is this, using this fractal font, couples the marginal tail integrals and creates the joint tail integral. So rather than describing dependence by looking at a multivariate probability, this looks at claim frequencies above certain thresholds. And it creates dependence via that way. And so that's what gives it its advantages of having the time consistency, because you're using you're using Levy processes which enable for time consistency, as opposed to a static random variable. The way in which it induces dependence in claim frequency as well as severity is that the parameter for the expected common claims is determined by simply the Levy copula and the marginal claim frequencies. And you can also derive the distribution functions for the common jump sizes. You can then, of course, derive the expected claim frequency for those unique jumps, which aren't accompanied by a common claim. And in general, the sizes of these unique claims are distributed differently to the sizes of common claims under this model. An example which is commonly used in literature is the Clayton-Levy copula. And that's basically its function there. And the inputs are the tail integrals, which will create a joint tail integral. And it has a single parameter delta. So it's just sort of one tool. I was mentioning that the Levy copula determines the dependent structure of common claim sizes. So a special case with the Clayton-Levy copula is that if you were to look at the survival copula of the sizes of these common jumps, it's actually a Clayton distributional copula. So it's an interesting link between the Levy copula case and the distributional copula case. In terms of existing literature in the actuarial realm, so there are some papers that are much more mathematical, or they look at it using a Levy copula to do things like model electricity prices and whatnot. But in terms of looking at it from an insurance perspective, Bregman and Klippelberg in 05 do it from a sort of mathematical example and look at probabilities of ruin in a company, assuming this model, and they assume a Clayton-Levy copula. Boker and Klippelberg in 08 look at applying it to operational risk, where under Basel II you have a recommendation to sort of split operational risk events by event type and business cell, so where they're arising from. So Boker and Klippelberg looked at what if you modelled this with the Levy copula and could you derive an approximation for value at risk for the operational loss. And then finally, Esmaili and Klippelberg in 2010 actually fit this model using Danish fire insurance data, using a maximum likelihood estimation procedure. And again, they use a Clayton-Levy copula to model the dependence. So This is also an extensive list of research, so it's in the insurance realm. So it's relatively new and sort of undeveloped as yet. So one of our contributions with this paper is to sort of extend the knowledge of Levy copulas and look further into their usefulness in modelling dependence between classes of business. So I've talked about how you can use it to model dependence between different lines of business, but in terms of fitting a model to that situation, one of the requirements is that you're able to actually see where the common claims exist. Now, in a line of business setup, you may not necessarily know which motor claim is going to match up with certain home claims coming from the same event. So research is still in development in terms of alternative methods of fitting for that sort of case. However, we can use this to look at dependence in different payment types. So in this fire insurance example, they have losses to buildings and losses to contents, and they looked at how you can model the dependence between different payment types, both in frequency and severity, and look at the impact on the whole portfolio. But they also fell short of... all they really did in this example was just fit a Clayton-Levy copula and sort of here's the parameter estimate and that's it. They didn't actually look at is it a good fit, what can be done to improve. There were no methods of how to test the fit, and they only fit one Levy copula. So what we set out to do is show that the Clayton-Levy copula, obviously it doesn't fit all cases. We then develop new Levy copula models and show that there's some benefit to developing perhaps a toolkit for modelling this kind of dependence. So the real data that we actually use is sourced from a company called Suva, which is a Swiss workers' compensation company, and it's incorporated under public law. So they have around 7 million people insured, which is about the working population of Switzerland. So the data set we took consists of just a random sample of 5% of claims from the construction sector for accidents incurred in 99, and then by the time we had the data, it was developed at 03. So it also features two types of payments. So 2,249 relate to medical costs, and 1,099 are attributable to daily allowances. So 1,089 of these claims have payments common to both types. And we first fit these compound Poisson processes S1 and S2 for the medical payments and the daily allowance payments respectively. We also assume a Clayton-Levy copula in the first example. The first thing we also did was chose the distributions for the claim severities. So for medical payments, we used the Gumbel for the log of those sizes, and for daily allowance, we had normal for the log. So you can think daily allowance payments are log normally distributed. We also had a look at what was the dependence in these payment types when you had a claim giving both payments. So on the left, I have the scatter plot of log sizes, and I think the medical claims are on the x-axis and allowance on the y. So what you can see on the left graph, which is just showing the claims together, is there's some suggestion of positive dependence in the right tail. However, you can't really see whether or not they make much comment on dependence unless you actually see it in a relative basis and sort of scale it by the distribution. So on the right, we also have the empirical copula, which, for those not familiar with empirical copula, all I've done is if you rank the sizes of those claims and then compare the rank in the medical payment with the rank in the daily allowance payment. So you can see clearly that there's evidence of positive dependence in the right tail in this case. So if you have a large medical claim, it becomes more likely that you'll have a large daily allowance claim, which makes sense intuitively as well. So from this, you can also think, well, we can clearly sort of model a Levy copula, use the Levy copula model on this data set, because you have dependence in claim frequency with the, well, dependence in payment frequency with the 1,089 common claims, as well as dependence in the sizes of those common claims. So using a maximum likelihood approach, we derived the following parameter estimates. Standard errors are below in brackets. So the delta here is the Levy copula parameter. And of course, it has a different interpretation depending on what Levy copula you're using. In the Clayton case, the larger the number, the more it tends to complete positive dependence. And the smaller and closer to zero it becomes, it indicates more independence. So you have some positive dependence there that it's picked up. The claim frequencies, the marginal claim frequencies or payment frequencies for each class are given as well. And from that you can derive the what the implied expected number of common claims, which describes claim frequency. We also have down here just parameters of the claim size distributions. I thought of showing the means or something like that, but I thought the main thing to see is that, I mean, just the we'll compare how the parameters might change for different Levy copulas. So if you looked at the empirical data, though, so the claim frequency we found for medical payments was 2,249, and for the daily allowance, 1,099. You can see that the estimates for these actually fall short of what was found empirically, and in turn, the expected claim frequency, common claim frequency, is lower than what you'd expect looking at the data. The reason for this is lies behind the fact that Levy copula is a parsimonious tool. So rather than fitting every single component, the Levy copula, which is a single parameter function delta, fits the dependence in frequency while it defits the dependence in severity. So occasionally you'll get, well, often you'll have this sort of push-pull kind of thing going on between finding the middle ground of where which is going to maximize the likelihood. So in this case, the parameters kind of bend as well to sort of provide the better fit under the parsimonious model. So in the case that the claim frequency is low, well, maybe the dependent is lower than what it should be, is probably attributable to the fact that if you were to have a higher Levy copula parameter, the implied dependence in claim severity would be too much, and it was being penalized for that. You can see also that generally the parameters for the jump size distributions change as well to allow for this. However, in this case, and we have we've produced QQ plots in the paper, but generally they're not sufficient to really put the distribution out of shape. Now, the way we assess the quality of the fit, and hadn't been done in existing literature, is we compare the theoretical tail integrals, so that what's produced by the model and what's assumed by the model, and compare it to an empirical case. So we look, compare it with the blue line, the observed number of claims above size X. And we do this for unique medical claims, unique daily allowance claims, common allowance claims and common medical claims. The unique allowance claims were omitted because there are only 10 of those, so it didn't seem useful. But what you can see is that the Clayton Levy copula has produced a pretty poor fit in this case. So apart from perhaps some unique medical claims, certainly with the common claims, it's generally a poor fit. But what you can see is that when you start at zero, you're looking just at the fit in claim frequency. So you can immediately see the underfit, so the model has produced an expected common claim frequency which is lower than what we saw in the empirical case. So it's just showing what I showed on the table before. And the fit of the claim size distributions then affect the shape of these, so you can see that it's generally not a very good fit. And this sort of motivates, well, maybe we should try different Levy copula models. And then you sort of get to the question, well, how do you derive these models or produce them? Are they difficult? And how do you compare different models? So we start off by creating a simple case. So I won't sort of dwell on the function at all, but the pure common shock Levy copula we created to model dependence in claim frequency alone. So what it does is it leaves the dependence in claim severity and assumes it independent. So it's a model which allows for dependence in claim severity, independence in claim severity. Sorry, dependence in claim frequency, independence in severity. We introduce in the paper two additional models, and they're of a type called an Archimedean Levy copula, which is analogous to the Archimedean copulas in the usual sense. And Tankov in 2003, who he's the person who actually introduced the Levy copula into the world in his thesis, showed that you can sort of create these functions by if you develop a function phi which satisfies certain conditions, has to be decreasing and convex, then you can develop a Levy copula by plugging it into this formula. So we developed two of these, as I mentioned, and the way we compare them is through the Levy copula density, which I'll go into in a moment. We also look at how these Levy copulas induce different dependent structures for the sizes of the common jumps. In the paper, we do some other things as well, like looking at how you can change time horizon in each of these Levy copulas. So what the Levy copula density does is a three-dimensional graph which shows the relative prevalence of common jumps at various sizes for each type of payment or claim. The overall volume of the three-dimensional figure reflects the dependence in frequency. So sort of the bigger it is, the more dependence in frequency, because you have the more common jumps. So the example we give is we assume the claim frequencies in the two classes are the same, and we fix the Levy copula parameter in all of our Levy copulas such that the dependence in claim frequency is the same at 60 expected common jumps. So for the pure common shock Levy copula, which is perhaps the simplest to sort of conceive in this form, you can see the plane on the left is the Levy copula density, and its relative height, its height compared to above the zero on the z-axis, indicates that there's claim frequency because you have common jumps. However, the plane is completely flat. Well, it is a plane, so at all sort of levels of tail integral or sizes of claims. So this is what indicates the independence. So the flatter the surface is around certain values, then they're relatively, the sizes of common jumps are relatively independent. And you can see that on the right, where we've simulated some common jump sizes under this model. And because they're sort of uniformly scattered along both the x and y axis, it suggests independence. The Clayton-Levy copula looks as follows under this example. So for the Levy copula density, you can see a peak up to the left. What that's saying is that you remember that we plug in tail integrals, and that's inversely related to size, claim size. So because you have a peak down at small values of tail integral, it's saying that the common claims are, you'd expect them to be of higher size, higher magnitude, which is a reasonable model, I suppose. I mean, perhaps those events which are causing multiple claims would also have a larger size than usual. And you can see that as well, you have positive dependence because they come in together at the same rate. So on the right, you can see the positive dependence in those common claim sizes. Archimedean model 1, again, looks actually quite similar to the Clayton-Levy copula. I haven't shown you the function of what it looks like, but it's in the paper if you're interested. While it does have similarities with the Clayton-Levy copula, the interesting feature of this particular case is that as you change the Levy copula parameter, you change the dependence in frequency quite drastically, but the dependence in claim severity remains relatively unchanged. So it's one case that you can sort of avoid that trade-off a bit better, but you also get less range for your dependence in claim severity. So you can see that this sort of Levy copula has advantages compared to the Clayton case or vice versa. to show illustrate the sort of range of structures you can get with these, we introduced Archimedean Model 2. And this is a case where you actually get negative dependence in the common claim sizes. And you actually get an interesting structure that it seems like the common claims are sort of bounded at an aggregate level. So it's really just an example to show you the different ranges of structures and types of these models you can get. So then we come back and fit these new Levy copulas that we've introduced to the data set, and we produce the following maximum likelihood estimates. I've omitted Archimedean Model 2 because that had negative dependence, which wasn't really going to suit our model anyway. But you can see Archimedean Model 1, Clayton, and pure common shock. The way we rank these in terms of their fit initially is just based on the maximized value of the log likelihood function. And the Levy copula parameters, of course, aren't comparable because each one has a significance which is unique. So the claim expected claim frequencies are fit as follows. And you also have expected common claim frequency. You can immediately see that the Archimedean Model 1 Levy copula produces claim frequency parameters which are a lot better with the empirical case, which is down below, and much a significant improvement on the Clayton case. The pure common shock copula, Levy copula, however, exactly matches those claim frequencies. And the reason for that is it's a Levy copula which looks at fitting the dependence in claim frequency only, and it ignores the dependence in severity. And because of that, it can perfectly fit the frequency parameters. But, of course, because it ignores the dependence in severity, it's penalized via the log likelihood. The parameters for the jump size distributions also change. So when you're comparing the fit for tail integrals, the shape of these will also change based on these results here. So we first compare the pure common shock Levy copula under our original method, and you can see that while it begins with a perfect fit for claim frequency in each of the cases, the shape of these distributions is not fit very well at all, of course. If we turn now to Archimedean Model 1, we actually find a Levy copula that produces a relatively good fit compared to the others. So it's sort of and we're quite pleased with this result because it didn't sort of take too many fits to, or too many Levy copulas to find something that looked reasonable. So it sort of suggests that there's perhaps an advantage in producing maybe like an arsenal of Levy copulas, and then that way you can really assess which have good fits. And you can see it's a significant improvement over the Clayton Levy copula. So I think I won't show you that. Another way you can compare the dependence in the other way you can compare the fit in Levy copula models is also to look at the dependence in the common claim sizes. So we've simulated the severities for under the Clayton Levy copula on the left and under the Archimedean Model 1 on the right. You can see that Clayton gives a bit more positive dependence, and Archimedean Model 1, if you remember, it's actually a bit unchanged from that example because it sort of produces a similar dependence in severity in all cases. You can then compare this with the empirical copula, which is from the data set and I showed earlier. So it then becomes a little bit ambiguous as to which is the better fit, because Archimedean Model 1 outperformed in terms of log likelihood and the fit of the tail integrals. You might argue that the Clayton fits better in the empirical copula case, looking at the dependence in severity. So perhaps there exists a Levy copula that is actually a better fit in both cases over the Archimedean Model 1 and Clayton. However, it's good news that we've managed to find a Levy copula that significantly outperforms the Clayton under those other measures. We've also introduced these methods of comparing the models. So to show what it might look like in a trivariate case, if you had to have three payment types or three classes of business, So you begin with the marginal, looking at it marginally, and you can see there are payments which are unique, payments common between two types, so 1 and 3 are here as well, 2 and 3 are here, and then you have payments which are common to all three types. So that's what the model would look, but you wouldn't need to worry about it in this complicated form. All you'd need to worry about is the fit of the these processes here, and then just look at the Levy copula fit. So that's really the advantage in parsimony over that. So in summary, what we've done is we've looked at new Levy copula models, and this includes the pure common shock Levy copula, and it allows for dependence in frequency only. We've also looked at fitting these new Levy copulas to a real data set. And this sort of goes beyond what was previously done, where they only sort of fit one Levy copula. So we wanted to say, well, can we actually use this Levy copula in a more realistic approach and have a sort of toolkit and see which fit better? And we also, we then showed how you can compare the fit of these models for different Levy copulas. So then sort of aiding the, hopefully allowing or getting further to the point of where these can be actually used in practice. We also then finally derive a relationship showing the common payments for a trivariate Levy copula. So I've put up my contact email then. If you, the research that's been done here, I mentioned that it's the ambition is for it to be applied in the case where you have different lines of business and you're looking at dependence in frequency and severity. So research is still ongoing on this project, and it's related to certain grants at the University of New South Wales, where my co-authors are still working on this stuff. So if you like, I could also pass on their contact details. I believe they're actually also looking for real data sets to use where you have different lines of business. So we have some already, but sort of looking at more realistic cases, and then we can sort of develop the research into the right directions. So thank you for your attention, and I'd be keen to hear your suggestions, comments, and questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke. Open to the floor now for questions, and if you can just come and use the microphone so we can record it. So hopefully someone's thought of a question to ask.
Thank you very much for that, Luke. Neil Christie, just a question about where you would see the most promising areas for application of these sorts of techniques.
So at the moment, the most sort of obvious application is looking at where you have different payment types. So sort of trying to think, the most obvious would be if you had a home portfolio and looking at relative pricing for adding on different contents excesses as well, and buildings excesses and different pricing structure, looking at the relationship between buildings and contents, because it is that case where you will have a single event that may cause a payment in buildings and in contents. The models are more readily applicable to that sort of situation. But where it has the most value, I believe, pending, of course, some additional research, is using this as an alternative to the case where with distributional copulas you sort of apply just a correlation matrix, or you'll assume like maybe a T copula or Clayton copula to determine the overall dependence in claim frequency and severity in different lines of business. So even looking on a more holistic level, so an alternative to that modelling step in DFA or risk margins.
Any other questions? Luke, in terms of, I suppose, following on from that last question, what can you see this being applied in the next 5 years on a regular basis? And or who do you see applying it? I mean, presumably a small insurer is going to struggle to apply something like this. What sort of size data do you think you need to be able to apply it?
Okay, so sort of thinking 5 years could be, I guess, ambitious from the point it's at now, because there's sort of just papers coming out. I mean, it even could take a year for a paper in the academic world to get reviewed and published. So if you think, I guess, about the time when copulas were used in the statistics realm and then moved over into ERM and the actuarial world, there was a significant time frame there. But the type of users of this kind of tool, yeah, would, as you were saying, be sort of larger businesses with enough data and enough lines of business, and they would be large enough and I suppose would be sophisticated enough to want to ask the question, can we get a capital reduction by using this model to better quantify our dependence between classes of business? So, yeah, I suppose the people we have been talking to have been of that size, so sort of the larger players in the industry.
Okay, final chance, if you've got it.
Tony Byrne. Thanks, Luke. I enjoyed that. In terms of like implementation stuff, do you think the real big challenge is going to be just having enough data, or what would stop people from putting this in place?
There are a couple of I've always sort of wanted that, actually, because there are of course mathematical assumptions. So you assume a compound Poisson process which relies on the claims to arrive according to a Poisson process, and often that's not the case because you get over dispersion and things like that. You may also have seasonality, seasonality is not much of an issue, but you may have trends in severities. So the main focus of the research now is looking at these kind of tools that we can use to avoid these kinds of problems and whether or not it still works. Because, I mean, I suppose some assumptions will have to be bent if you're going to apply it, as there are a number of models, I guess, that are used that never really truly all the data in the real world actually adhere to all of the assumptions being applied. We are working on those kinds of things. So it's not so much the lack of data, because the data that it uses is claim frequency and claim severity. It's mainly just the characteristics of that data, whether you need to inflate, like putting in inflation, like being able to inflate payments, if you want to input discounting, also if you want to allow for further claim development as well. So, yeah, there are those things to consider.
I mean, just like as a rule of thumb, mm-hmm. How many common claims do you think you'd need to be able to do something like this?
In terms of if you're looking at like building and contents or in lines?
Anything,
yeah. I suppose.
Just to make the model work.
Well, we did this for only about 2,000 claims, so, and it worked pretty well. So I consider that a relatively small data set over a year. I think I'm trying to. We're also looking to derive like confidence intervals as well, so we can actually see. Yeah, actually, that'd be a good research question as well. So, at what point do data limitations matter? Yeah, so I can't exactly answer that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it okay if I ask a question here? Just working on these sorts of things with a colleague recently. Mm-hmm. He was it was a professional indemnity and public liability portfolio. Okay. I had 10,000 claims or something like that, and he was quite a fan on using a negative binomial distribution. We had a bit of heterogeneity going on with the claims, and there was certainly quite a clear relationship going on over a number of years between the frequency and size of the PI and the PL claims, and so he used a copula. Is it easy enough to sort of modify these sorts of techniques to use different claims frequency distributions?
That question has sort of come across to us as well. because, yeah, certainly in data sets you often get over dispersion and negative binomial applies. One, just sort of initial thought, so we haven't really gotten to the stage of really investigating, but the initial thought is that, well, over dispersion, as you said, is the result of indigeneity between inhomogeneity in the portfolio. Perhaps because these are compound Poisson processes, if you can get it down to the most homogeneous level of your payment type and your risk, perhaps you might see an improvement. That's the initial step that we've taken. Although, as you were saying, so one of the things about with copulas, though, too, that if you're using claim frequency, is that there's certain, because it's a discrete distribution, copulas on discrete cases apparently cause some kind of problems. Perhaps some know more about this than I do, but I've just seen some papers that have highlighted problems with that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? No? Well, can you put your hands together, please, and thank Luke for his presentation today.